day I will confess and believe that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with Jesus' stripes, I am healed. All right, today I want to go to the book of John, and we're going to read John chapter 5, verse 1 through 9, and then we're going to read a couple more scriptures, not a lot more, and then we're going to see what we got here today. John chapter 5, and we're going to begin at verse 1, and we'll read 1 through 9. All right, here we go. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. All right, let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, and we'll go to 2 Peter chapter 2, and let's look at verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 2, we're going to begin at verse 18 and read through verse 22. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean, escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. All right, last place we're going to go is to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. And we're going to read verse 1 through 3. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name that we're told is above every name, and that there is no name under heaven whereby men may be saved but that name of Jesus Christ. We pray and ask today that the Holy Spirit that was released to us on the day of Pentecost, as we were baptized by the Spirit of by Jesus himself, that we might hear today what the Spirit is saying to us as a local church, and to the church abroad. We pray in Jesus' name that we would hear the Spirit and that we would respond appropriately in our lives. We ask it all now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, today, you know, yesterday I got a text message from a pastor. You know, he sends out these text messages every Sunday to kind of encourage us, and we respond back and forth to one another. And yesterday, you know, it was a very interesting one he sent, and it started off, he just said, don't be a life coach. Your people need a preacher. Preach the gospel, right? And I thought, yes, that's great. I love this, you know, because everybody is into this thing about, you know, motivation, and you need a life coach and all that. And Sister Laura and I were laughing the other day, and most of the people who are life coaches ain't lived enough life to even be coaching you. All right? Yeah, I mean, you know, you're 25, you're 30. What you know about life to be coaching me about life? You know, you haven't played that game yet to even know anything about it, you know? But at the same time, we realize that Jesus, we understand, fully knew what was going on. He fully understands what is happening because he was with God, the Bible says, from the beginning, that he was with God. So when we say, you know, we realize that Jesus doesn't really give us much to play around with. And that's what I like about it, that if people would just be clear, then they could make a very easy choice when it comes to Christ. You know, as you read more and more and more of what Jesus said, you see where he's constantly making statements that all you can do is make a decision, choose him, or move on, man. And just don't get upset about it, don't worry about it, but just move on, because you just gotta, my goodness, who says, do you believe in God? Believe in me. Whoa, dude, stop. Wait a minute. This is why we know he's not comparing himself like Confucius or any of these others. He's saying, if you believe in God, believe in me. He's putting himself on par with God for the ability for you to place your confidence and trust in him. That right there is enough for someone to just say, that's okay. I'd rather stick with the philosophers or the life coaches or the other people. We are moving into a time of more and more and more confusion, to the point to where, as I told Sister Laura the other day, it begins to look more and more and more like the 1984 novel, you know, by George Orwell, where in the book, finally, people begin to say slavery is freedom and freedom is slavery. As I began yesterday to listen to someone explain why now men can have babies. And I just had to listen long enough to understand their point, which was that when they were talking about trans men, you know, so, okay, I got it. So in other words, now in your world, men have babies. See, so now it's like, well, wait, stop. No, we used to say that no, only women could have, well, it gets confusing only if you get outside of the lines of the Word of God. The Word of God is clear on how things happen to us in our thinking. The Word is clear on how things occur. I told somebody the other day, faith is not what many people want to make it out to be. Faith is not about believing in something that doesn't exist. Faith is not about jumping off of a cliff and hoping when it's over it's going to work. They call that blind faith. Take a leap of faith. That is not what faith is. God said faith is the substance of things you hope for, the evidence of things not seen. We are using a sense that we cannot see. We don't see our faith. We're using a sense to perceive something that is not seen, to understand and to know and to believe something that we have not seen. And even though someone tells us that it's so, we have to believe it because we have not seen it. The other day, I went to Opelousas to go pick up something. I had never been to this store ever in my life. I didn't even know the store exists. Harry told me about it. I didn't know anything about the store. I looked it up on the website, and it said such a store exists. I called a number, and somebody answered the phone. The man told me they had what I needed. He said, I'll put your name on it. When you get here, you'll have it. I've never seen the store, never seen the man. Harry told me about it. I checked into it. He did answer the phone, so I believed he was there, and I got in my car and drove, and guess what? He was there. And when I got there, he had my stuff, just like he said. Faith in God is not about, well, I'm hoping he there. Uh-uh. You start off by knowing, what did he say? People will say, well, how do you know this is the Word of God? Well, it's the Word of God. There comes a point, folks, now where you have to do like the Bible itself even says. Choose you this day. You're a human being with a mind. Make a decision. You could say, I choose not to believe this is the Word of God. Well, then drop it and walk away. I choose to believe it. Now, people say, why do you choose to believe it? Well, because when I go from the beginning of it to the end, which is why I told y'all, every day go read it. You're going to see that absolutely this book describes the human condition. This book describes exactly what is going on in the human condition. This book describes early, 400 to 500 years before this man named Jesus shows up, exactly what a person like him is going to do, what they're going, why they're going to die, it says. And then he comes and he does exactly what it said, and then he dies. Then you have a group of people who claim they saw him rise from the dead, and then they die continuing to say such a thing. Unless you have a group hallucination of 500 or 600 people, people don't just die for nothing. I choose to believe this, like I chose to believe Harry, that this is true. Now, let me tell you then why we have the problem we have in society today. You can choose not to believe it, but I choose to believe God because I have faith in what he said, and this is why I know it is what it is. This is what God says. He says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God, because of this, gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies. Those who change the truth of God into a lie and have chosen to worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God has given them up to vile affections, for even their women change the natural use, and men leaving the natural use of women, burning their lust, men with men, doing stuff that is unseemly. Okay, so God has now explained to me why society is doing all of what it's doing. Because when we know God, we choose not to glorify him as God. We become vain in our imaginations. Our foolish heart gets darkened. We profess ourselves to be wise. We become fools. And God gives us up to the devil. And then he just corrupts us. And we steadily going saying, we know what we're talking about. Title of my message today is Rise and Shine. Rise and shine. Now, let me say this. We spent the last 4 or 5 weeks talking about a message. It might have been even longer. Strongholds we went through. And I told you what strongholds were, and we talked about how they come about. And we said that they really manifest themselves in 3 major places. Purpose in life, timing of things, and truth. What is truth? You constantly see God saying he gives people over to delusions because of truth. They don't want to receive the truth. They don't want to know the truth. They keep saying, what is truth? I got truth. You got truth. No, God is truth. Jesus said, I've come that you might know the true God and truth. You can choose not to know it. You can just say, I choose not to believe Jesus. That's fine. But to try to muddy up the water and say, well, we don't know truth and we don't this. But you can't figure out that when somebody walks up to you with a gun and says, give me your wallet, that somehow you don't think that's wrong. Somehow that you don't, what you would like to do is if you could, if you knew how, you strike them right quick, you know, and not give them your wallet. Now, you may not want to kill them. But you would at least want to be able to defend yourself in such a way that if somebody walked up to you, I watched somebody the other day, they're sitting at a cafe. Now they're doing it, folks, in broad daylight in good places in the city. You used to think you don't stay away from that side of the city. Oh, no, anywhere now. They walk right up to you with the gun. Give me your stuff. And took the people's stuff. Guy got his wallet, took the lady's purse, all that while they were sitting out there trying to eat on the cafe outside. He read about the guy that was killed in Houston, the police officer. They were at a nice restaurant. Guys walked up, pow, you know, what is going on? We know something about that ain't right. But they truth is you can rob who you want. Well, how can that be truth? No, God said he established man, gave him a command to stay away from that tree. The day you eat of it, you're going to die when you learn good and evil. They bought it and walked out of there, and since then, all hell's been breaking loose on the planet. And man's heart is always, God said, before the first flood, and I don't understand why people don't get that. You would think after New York, the way it's flooding, you'd think people would believe in floods. You know, for some reason, everybody up north thought floods just happened down here because we live next to the Gulf. Now, it's all suddenly happening in New York in the subways, and people are wanting to blame it on climate change, but they're saying, well, it hadn't rained this much since 1802. Oh, but it did rain that way in 1802. The difference is there was no Empire State Buildings and all that concrete that now floods. There was no subways. So it's happened before. Yeah, the climate's changing. Yeah, a lot of climate's changing. And I ain't saying I'm disagreeing. I'm just saying people need to pay attention. These things are not new. In Galveston, there was a year 3,000 people died in a hurricane because during that time, we didn't have the Weather Channel where you could go on and it would tell you, look, the storm ain't over yet. That's an eye. Nobody knew about that. They walked out. They thought everything was good. It was calm. And next thing you know, they all out and boom, it hits them. God has allowed man to learn more and more and more so that he could try to help himself during all of these things that are going on. Prime example of look at what's happening right now, right? God's giving us ways to try to help ourselves through this current problem even. Man discovers these things. But man's basic problem is his heart. I mean, they look, now during the pandemic, they said even prostitutes are making more money online. That is crazy. How can you... A nurse quit her job, and I read, went from however much she was making as an ICU nurse to like $100,000 a month on what I'm going to call the naked channel. You know, doing naked things. So that means then that you can do naked things and make more money than people that are what, done went to school and then got a degree, and they saving lives. And you on the naked channel making 10 times more a month than you was making doing naked things. What is wrong with people? God done gave them up to vile affection. But it's the pandemic. You got people now going to the legislature talking about we need to fix this for sex workers. They don't have a name no more. They ain't harlots and whores and prostitutes. They sex workers. Sex workers. How dare you call somebody a prostitute, Pastor? I'm just using the words when I was growing up. I mean, you didn't go into somebody, I'm looking for a sex worker. Now they're online. They got their own websites, their own .com. And at one point, Visa, when it used to be popular, Visa could say like they did, well, if you go to that website, we're not taking your credit card. That was their way of so-called controlling people having access to things that weren't healthy, they say. Can't be healthy sitting around watching them kind of sex acts all day long. That's all you're doing. That's not healthy. So we're not going to take the credit cards. Well, they tried it just recently, and there was an uproar of sex workers and people supporting the sex workers till the bank came back and said, oh, it really wasn't us. And they've decided we'll go ahead and take the cards. This is the environment we're moving into more and more. I've said it before. Do not be surprised eventually when we hear the same thing about the lottery, about sex workers. They're going to use the taxes for the children. And it's safer. And all of what they're going to say to what? Control the sex workers, you know, with some laws and all of that. Where are we? Arise and shine. We have to understand that Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, okay? Now, I'm going to give you my thesis for this one. This is what I have to say about this. The bed in which you lay must be the first one you can learn to carry. The bed in which you lay must be the first one you learn to carry. Now, what am I saying? Go back when I talked about imagination and I talked about strongholds. I said all of us, imagination is not what you think. It's about how you think. And I said that how you think is going to end up implicating where you end up. On Wednesday Bible study, I spent a lot of time talking about things like ruminating. In other words, where you repeat a thought over and over again, the word ruminate means to chew the cud like a cow. So I said that many people are struggling in their life, some in their marriages, some in their lives and other areas. Some are alcoholics and some are drug addicts because they are struggling and their imagination and the process in which it works is creating this problem. If they ruminate, they chew the cud, they, you know, that last drink was a good one and you can't get it off your mind and you chew it up and you bring it down and you chew it up and you bring it down. And before you know it, you're bringing actions in line with that imagination. Same thing I said in your marriage. Last week I compared it to thoughts. I said, let's make thoughts a piece of meat. And let's make imagination one of four things. It could be a grinder, it could be a freezer, it could be a refrigerator, or it could be a garbage disposal. And depending on what you do with that little piece of meat, let's take a little hamburger patty. Depending on what you do with it, in each of those things, you're going to get four different results. Stick it in the freezer, it's going to freeze hard as a brick. Stick it in the refrigerator, it'll stay fresh a while, but it's going to still be meat in there. And if you grind it up, you'll just grind it up into something else, but it's still meat. Put in the garbage disposal, or chew it up and wash it away. We said that we really got to start getting our imaginations to deal with improper thoughts like the garbage disposal. Where they come in, we grind that crap up and wash it away. It needs to get out of our heads, because if it doesn't, this is why all of these things are occurring. God says he gives people over to vain imaginations. All of a sudden, they're thinking things that it's like, whoa, where'd that come from? Well, because your imagination is, then your heart's dark, your imagination is off, and now you're imagining all kind of evil. God said this is what happened before the flood came with Noah, that your imagination, he says, man's heart was constantly on evil. Every imagination he come up with, he did. Every man or every woman that's committed adultery against their partner, it began in their imagination. Right? So I got to fix that. You know, if I don't want to find myself in situations that I'm not supposed to be in, I got to learn how to do this. But after we finished that last week, and I was praying, and the Lord started dealing with me, but he says, now it's time for you to take them to the next place. I said, okay, all right, what do you want to do? Said, okay, now let's go and look at what happened in John chapter 5. We see Jesus walking up to this guy who has been in this condition. The Bible says he's laying by this pool. And he's been by this pool, the Bible says, he's been in this condition 38 years. I mean, how many people do you know who have had whatever their troubles are, like forever? It looks like no matter what you say, they still struggling with the same thing. Some of us, that may be the case. There may be some things in your life you want to just, you'd like them to just be gone, but it's still there. Just year in, year out, year in, year, it don't change. But the Bible says that it's obvious that it wasn't God who had a problem with these people being sick down there necessarily, because an angel would even come down and trouble the water every now and then so that what? People could get healing. It says he would come down in a season, trouble the water, but the first person to get in would be healed of whatever was wrong with them. Which means that people had to push to get to it. They had to desire it. They had to want it bad enough so that when the time came and the angel came down, oh, I'm getting mine. I'm going to get my miracle. I'm getting in that water. They understood they were sick. They understood that they needed help, and they made a decision that when I see a window of opportunity, I'm going for it. Well, only so many people could get it, though. And here this fella is with all his excuses, all of his reasons why he can't. He sat there 38 years with all the reasons why he still acts stupid. I'm going to compare him to some of us, not y'all. Let me say me. Because as I talked, my wife and I had a conversation yesterday. I told her, I said, let me say this to you. There are some things that if you say them to me, you know what I think I need to do is find me a padded room. And if I could get in a padded room and I couldn't get to you, and, you know, I could, like, I just free to do whatever in the room. You could stand outside the bars. As long as the bars was padded too, so I don't hurt myself when I hit them. And then say some of that. Because I noticed some stuff about me that got to get on your nerve really, really bad. And that you really hate and you don't like it. But if you tell me, even if you try to tell me in love, as they say, honey, can I tell you this in love? Why? Because I can't, look, let me explain it to y'all. You know, I don't know what that's all about. All I know is once I came to realize it was real, then I knew it's like the wolf man that need to be locked up when the moon come out. Look, tie him to a tree or something, because he ain't no telling what's about to happen. Once I understood that, at least I knew to lock the wolf man up. See, some people don't even want to lock him up. They just let him out. They just want you to know, look, the moon coming out. Run. You can't live like that. Now, everybody don't have to accept your wolf man. That's what you got to understand. No, you got to understand you got problems. And at least once you understand you got wolf man, you can nail yourself down at least and say, that's why I told, I can tell her. Look, hon, I ain't ready to be that honest. I remember my son one time saying to me, me and you and he have a brother, you know. What we should do is all get together and maybe take a trip, and we could go into the woods somewhere and get in a cabin and just tell each other how we really feel. And then whatever happens, happens. I said, no, sir. Everybody might not come out the woods. I said, so why don't we do this? Let's resolve to go in the woods and come out like Jesus would want us to. In other words, be kind, be loving. We're going to say what God wants us to say, because I don't want you to tell me you don't like me, or you think I know everything, or you my daddy and you get on my nerves and I've been wanting to tell you get on my nerves. Don't tell me none of that. I don't want to hear all that, because something's going to happen. Let's find out what God wants. The idea is not to what? Try. This is why I said, if y'all listen to my message on imagination, you heard when I told you, process. Everyone, and I told my wife, what I tend to do when I'm out doing my research, what I'm finding is that people in the world, just like scientists are discovering different things. They discovered a vaccine for polio and all that stuff. This stuff already existed. They didn't create nothing. They didn't go to Mars and bring nothing special here. It was all here. Man is just developing technology enough to learn how to combat disease and other stuff. Got it. So God already knew about this stuff. Man, though, is learning, right? Well, the same thing in the cognitive areas. They're beginning to learn as they can research more and more, and they have more data on people and how people think and what they do and why they do it. But you can go in the Bible and find God already said that. Now, he may not have come down and said, look, I'm here to give you a psychology class, because that ain't necessary. Faith does what God says. Why? Because it believes him. That's what faith is. Faith does what God says because it believes him. So in one place, God says, through Paul, Paul said, let me tell y'all, I want to attain Christ, but I don't think I have attained. But this one thing I do, forgetting everything that is behind, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ. One of the things that these folk, cognitive people, have found through much research is that everyone who does better in their life, that's having trouble either in relationships, et cetera, due to whatever psychological issues, problems, which we call strongholds and misoperative of off-firing imaginations, because that's what they are, do better when they look forward and forget back. Really? That's what Paul said. Paul said, I forget what's back there, and I move forward. But you don't move forward bringing what was back there with you. They said that the people who do best are the people who don't spend their time thinking about the past, comparing their present to their past. Okay? It's like having an ex-wife, and you keep comparing your current situation with her, and bringing her into your current situation, and it's like, well, why is she here? And you're ruminating on that, and by doing that, you ruin your current situation by using and comparing what was happening in your old. So although you have not forgotten the past, you've also brought it forward and continue to chew on it. They've also discovered that the people who don't do that do better, really. Well, God didn't bother to say all of that. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things have virtue, think on these things. See, so God has already answered the psychology question. That's all. If we had been doing what God told us, we would have forgot what was behind. We would be thinking about what's good, what's right, and we could fix our problems. But some of us don't want to fix them. I mean, seriously, some people may know even and just say, look, you're just going to have to accept me the way I am. I told my wife this one time. We were talking, and I said, you know, look, I realize this about myself. I said, at least I realize it. I would never foster myself upon another helpless woman ever in life. Seriously, I said, if I didn't fix myself, if I didn't get God to help me fix my, I would never do it. I said, I recognize that there are some things about how I feel about stuff so strongly that it's almost like when you start talking, you might well just be babbling. You know, because my ears done shut down already because I'm already made up my mind about something. And it ain't got nothing to do with the Bible. So I ain't sitting there lying. It just may be about what I think about a particular thing, right? And I just shut down to the point that I can't even hear you talking. Well, you might be saying the truth. Well, that means I'm the one losing out here because I'm not willing to hear the truth. But the question of how you got there doesn't even really matter. See, this is where I think the psychologists and others start making the mistake because that's where God shifts. See, God says, I need y'all to understand something. If a man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. The question is, do I believe you, God? Or am I going to allow my past to keep creeping up? I told you all, you know, I mean, my mom was rough. And people keep talking about, you know, hey, my mom was rough. Look, my mom was rough. It's like having two daddies. I'm just serious. There wasn't nobody you go outside, fall down, and she come in and say, oh, you know, let me put a Band-Aid on it. Yeah, what's wrong with you? Why are you crying? Straighten up. Okay, your daddy got you straightened up. Your mama got you straightened up. Everybody got you straightened up. Where mama? You know, and what it you cannot sit and believe that somehow this does not have impact on a person. Now, we all running around, you know, you done get ready to finally hear you all but a crazy ball. And then you go meet somebody else who came up normal. And then they trying to figure out, because they deal with normal, they ain't never seen nothing like this. And so you always doing crazy, right? And they're trying to regulate it and help, but they can't. Because until you at least first acknowledge it, then you can say, okay, God, that ain't right and that ain't good. And if I'm in Christ, I'm supposed to be a new creation. So then that needs to be passed away. But as I sensed this morning as I was doing something, I'm not going to say the Lord said it. I ain't saying that. I said it. I was brushing my teeth. And I said, Jesus don't brush your teeth, do he? Jesus don't put on your deodorant, do he? Jesus don't put your underwear on, do he? Okay, well, Jesus also ain't going to stop you from acting a fool. Just on his own accord. You know you need to brush your teeth. You know you need to put on your deodorant, and you know you need to put on your underwear. Well, you also know you need to stop acting a fool. You know it. Well, I don't know what to do about it. Oh, yeah. You know, you know where to get a toothbrush. You know where to get the deodorant. You know where to buy underwear. Okay. Well, now, so then let's talk about these other things. Jesus asked the man the question. Bro, you've been here 38 years. 38 years? 38 years? Wow. Do you want to be made whole, he says? Do you? Or are you satisfied with being who you are, where you are, messed up like you are, messing up other people's stuff? Let me say this to all of y'all. And I'll say it out of love. I had to think about it. I fostered it upon myself. Life, and I said this on Wednesday, I think it may be Sunday. Life is already full of suffering, y'all. Don't y'all know that? If we could come through life perfect, I said it on Wednesday. There's some of y'all, I believe all of y'all like me. I believe that. And if I died tomorrow, I believe y'all would all come to my funeral and y'all would all be sad. I believe that. I choose to believe that anyway, I'm saying. I choose to believe y'all would all be sad. Y'all would be like, man, Pastor was a pretty good dude. You know, even Sister Lori, as crazy as I could be sometimes, she'd be like, he was a pretty good dude. I miss him. I wish. And she probably would be more hurt than most of y'all. But that comes with life. See, that's baseline. Our relatives die and people die. And that's why the Bible says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. My sister died of cancer. She didn't go out and get cancer. She didn't go pick it up. But that's how she died. She died in her 40s, and it was a sad event for me. But that's baseline. That's just life. Now, why do I want to add on to Sister Lori's life extra suffering? Because of my malevolent, ridiculous, out-of-control mouth or inability to control my own thought process about certain things. Why would I want to increase suffering in society by fostering myself up on it with all my extras? Come on, now, life isn't hard enough. And if we love God, that's why Jesus said, "This is how they shall know you are my disciples, your love one for another." And that's why the Bible says, "This is how they will know." Because if you love someone, you don't commit adultery, you don't do this, you don't steal, you don't kill, you don't murder. So when the love of God manifests itself in our life for real, we first at least have the desire to do like God. Not to bring harm and suffering and extra problems into other people's lives. We strive to be different. We strive to make sure that when we open our mouth and you leave from our presence, you ought to leave feeling better than when you came. If whenever you leave the presence of somebody and you feel it, they feel distracted and down and their shoulders on the ground and everything, and oh God, I gotta hear this again. What is that? That ain't Jesus. Nowhere in the Bible did Jesus ever did people go, "Oh, Lord, here he come." You know? They didn't do that. They were excited to see Jesus. They were running behind him, except his enemies. And, of course, that was just the devil. And we know that. Why? Because Jesus said, "What have I done?" The Bible says they picked up stones to stone him. And Jesus said, "Help me understand. For what good work are you stoning me?" They say, "Not for any good work. We're going to stone you because you're making yourself God." And Jesus was like, "Okay, but help me understand. Doesn't the scripture say ye are gods? So why y'all want to stone me for saying I'm the Son of God?" They couldn't even respond to that one. The man had done nothing wrong. He did not do anything to increase anybody's suffering. Every time he met somebody, he healed them. He helped them. He sent them on their way feeling better about themselves. Now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with keeping people in base reality. In other words, the last thing I needed to hear growing up was, "Oh, you're fine." Yeah, I didn't need my mama. You know, people will say that, "Well, you know, you mess your ego up when they keep telling you what's wrong with you." Well, if they don't tell you what's wrong with you, when you gonna find out? Because I tell people all the time, I'm not down on where I am. The bottom line is my mom and dad put me in a position where when it was over, all of us, every one of us, we have jobs, we take care of our business, and we are, doing okay, so to speak, whatever that means. So they taught us discipline, and they taught us responsibility, and they taught us what it means to live life on your own and do what you got to do. Yes, they taught us that. That was good. So now there are some things that come along with that. It's like growing up in boot camp. Problem is, if you grow up in boot camp, you become a soldier, and it's like everything is an MMA fight. Yeah, everything. I mean, everything is an MMA fight. So if you're used to living alone and you've been taught to survive, well then, okay, hey. You tell people, "Come on, let's do this thing, and we're going to survive. You coming? Come on, let's go. Can we sit down for a minute?" "We do not sit down." "Can we eat lunch?" "We don't eat lunch." Why are you making me suffer? "Can I have a chili dog?" I mean, if you don't want one, that's fine. But please don't tell me that, you know, lazy people eat chili dogs. And why you got to add all that on? Why you got to make me feel bad? What if I want to get out of my bed and don't make it up for 6 weeks? It's my bed in my room. Now, as a child, I got it. You tell your children, make up the bed, because they ain't got no house. But if you grown and you get out your side of the bed and I'm grown, I get out my side of the bed, you can't be... Look, oh, well, if you want to make the bed, go ahead. But I'm not your child for you to tell me I got to make the bed. Well, in my mom and them house, this ain't your mom and them house. This our house. I believe. That's how, you see what I'm saying? Why? That's why I told her, I said, I promise you, I swear, I never foisted myself upon another woman. And if I was walking down the aisle, you the one back there that need to say, is there any reason why these two should not be joined? She should jump up and say, because he's crazy. That's why he up there again. Surely y'all don't think it was me, do you? My point, though, folks, is I would be like, I don't have time to be trained. I'm 60. I can't spend 20 more years with somebody trying to change me now. Now, I need to change me. If there's something about me that doesn't work and something about me that's not right, that doesn't work with her and that you can look at the book and see is wrong, Pastor, you must assert yourself. Do you want to be made whole or not? Get up. Ain't nobody trying to hear that no more. I don't want to hear about your mama. I don't want to hear about your brother. I don't want to hear about your sister. Do you want to be made whole, Pastor, or not? Do you want to put your wife through another night of, oh, God, here we go. What are you fussing about? Now, I'm not saying I'm doing that right now. I'm just being dramatic. But, oh, there was a time now. I ain't going to sit here and lie and say it wasn't. Lord, I could just go. And don't never stop. Just keep going. And I ain't got to be hollering, just talking. You know, you're just talking. The kind of thing that right now, if I listen to myself, would make me just beat my head on the wall. You know, it's like I got it.
Well, no, I don't know if you really have it. Let me just explain it this way.
No, don't. You don't have to explain it any other way. I understand what you're saying. I got it. I just don't agree with you.
You can't not agree with me.
I have to, I just use myself, you know. I mean, I know none of y'all doing that. I'm good. I'm happy. So y'all need to go out and tell people this now so you get it right. But Pastor, you got to rise up. You got to shine. It's time. The Bible says we are the salt of the earth. See, the Bible, Jesus didn't say go change the world. He didn't say that. Jesus said you are the salt of the earth. You preserve. People see you. They see your life. They see what's going on with you. And that gives them hope. Helps them to see that God can make a change in your life. If he makes it in your life, he can make it in mine. The bottom line is, this is what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2. I'm going to read it to you. See, there's something that I've always understood, and I think as Sister Miranda was talking about this morning, I was very clear and understood it. You can't lead nobody where you have not been. Now, folks, that's just the truth. You see, and unfortunately, a lot of young people will run out and they get married. They don't know nothing about it. And then, God forbid, they have not been socialized. You know, they ain't socialized. So then this is why. Why do you think you're seeing all this domestic violence all the time and stuff? Because people don't know how to control their emotions. And their failure to be able to control their emotions, then when people disagree, they don't have any socialization to know how to what? Deal with conflict properly. That the person disagrees with you. I don't agree with that. That doesn't mean that what? I can't love you or be a part of what you're doing because I don't agree with what you're saying. Now, if the Bible says something, I'm going to disagree. But if it's within the purview, this is why you see all this fighting amongst church people about masks. That's the dumbest thing in the world to be arguing about a mask. Why are we doing that? Because there's a group of people who got their mind made up, a group of people got their mind made up, and don't nobody care about, like the Bible says, hey, take not your own interests in heart, but the interests of others. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ. You're considering others and not yourself. So instead of even arguing with you about something, it might be better. In one place, the Bible even says, why don't you suffer yourself to be defrauded? Instead, y'all suing each other, going to court. Somebody do you something, and you done went and told everybody in the church. Instead of dealing with that person, just go tell them, you offended me, or this is what you did, and I don't think that was right, and work it out. But oh no, I'm going to show you I'm right. And I just keep pushing and breaking and breaking and pushing and so unsocialized that you end up destroying relationships. And it's only unless people are wise enough to understand. I was joking around with her yesterday. We were talking about something. I said, imagine if you and I got divorced. I said it would be hard for most people to believe it. I said, think about it. If you and I got divorced, I mean, most people are like, what? Because most people wouldn't think that would happen. And it shouldn't. Because if we know God and we claim to know him like we claim to know him, we ought to be able to work our way through this thing. Whatever that thing is, that's the way I see this. I mean, I just do. That's the way I see it. If we can't do that, then what are you presenting to people? But this is not, you know, just something to do on Sunday. This is supposed to be truth. We're supposed to be presenting a life that can change through the power of God. So when we present a message about something like imagination or whatever we're talking about, how does this work, we said, and we see then that what? I couldn't sit here and keep saying to you,
well, you know, honey, the problem is, remember last year when you said this?
Well, yeah, I remember that, but can you let it go? No, because we ain't never resolve it. Yeah, but don't the Bible say that this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind? And if you can't forget, can you go ask God to help you to learn how to do that? Don't you want God to forget your sins? I mean, seriously, the Bible says God will cast our sins into a sea of forgetfulness. How would you feel if every week when you did something wrong that you had done the week before, God then says to you, you see, you, I'm trying. But last week, you did that. Matter of fact, 6 years ago, you did the same thing. And actually 10 years ago. And you're like, stop, God, stop. You know, he could give you a list of every time you say it, I'm not going to do it again, or I promise not to this, or whatever. But he doesn't do that. The love of God takes our sins and casts them into the sea of forgetfulness. The problem is that many people are so busy trying what? Not to be taken advantage of, or not to be used, or not to be any of this, instead of saying to themselves, this is about me right now and trying to fix my life so that I don't what? Foister additional suffering onto the masses. Some poor little children suffer so bad because their parents crazy. I'm just saying, the little kids get born into the world and they just trying to be little cheering. What are you doing? Acting like a child. They go to the store. They pulling everything off the shelf. Why? Because everybody child do that. Except some of them. There are a few of them don't do that. But most of them, you got to get them to the point where you tap their hand or something to stop them because they're curious. That's just what they do. But not yours. Man, I felt so sorry for this little kid one day, but I couldn't say nothing. Because I scared she going to slap me. I said, I ain't saying nothing. Boy, that little boy, we went in the store. I stopped that little boy, went to reach for some candy. What did I tell you, little bleepity, 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 bleep? The little boy like this, I want to buy it for him. I said, look, bro, I'll buy you some candy. She like, I told you I ain't got no money. Wah, wah, wah. And he stood there. And then they went up to the counter and she said, give me that. It was alcohol. And I'm thinking, okay, hold up, stop now. You hollering at the little boy about some Skittles. And I called him every name that I can't even think to say. The little boy just done tightened up. And now you go up and buy yourself a big thing of liquor. Now, I ain't going to judge you. You ought to judge yourself. But then you wonder, well, what's going to happen when he grow up? Well, how he supposed to treat his son? Oh, my mama tell me, fifth, please. Give me a fifth of crown, please. If there is such a thing, I don't know. Crown. I just see the little crown ball. You see, you got to understand. They say that children model their parents. Eventually, they say that we don't know how it happens or where it's coming from, but children literally are modeling their parents many times. So sometimes when you look and you see certain things happening, it's really they got that from you. You may not realize they did it, but they were watching you. And all day, as they grew up, they watched you. And you helped them to become what you're seeing. That's so hard sometimes to accept because we are in the process of what? Trying to protect ourselves from ourselves. You know you're hitting home when five people come to you and say, man, you were talking about me today. Five people. See, so I wasn't because I was talking about me. So that tells you then that what? This thing is prevalent. If you were to go out and do the research, and it's what I'm telling you, you will find more and more that much of what I'm telling you is not something. Things that you're doing are not necessarily just you. That doesn't mean you can keep doing them. But if nothing else, it should give you some relief to understand that these things are happening a lot. And why, though? When the world is already, like I said, already baseline is suffering. As much as Christians, and we would love to tell you, you ain't never going to get sick. You ain't never going to die. Ain't nobody you know going to sick. You ain't never going to lose a job. You ain't never going to get a bad grade. You ain't never going to have a problem in life. We know that's a lie, and that is not reality. So we must be prepared to deal with the problems that are out here already and not add additional suffering onto our life. You can see this is how you can become depressed. Because as life hits you with what it normally hits, and the devil comes with his stealing and killing and destroying like he tries to do, and you already now piling up on yourself additional suffering. That's why the Bible says, where two are together, it's better than one. God said, I'll give you a mate even when he said, why? Someone to help you, right? So when the two of you have a problem, life brings trouble, at least there are two of you. It's like I told her yesterday. I said, more than likely, we were just having a conversation. I said, more than likely, when I close my eyes, you're going to be the person, the last person I see. I said, you're the person who has the most vested interest in my life right now today. My sons, one lives around, the other one lives in a whole other state. But more than likely, you're going to be the one looking at me, and you're the last person I'm going to see. So why would I want to hoist on you anything other than joy? Why would I want the last person who's going to be looking at me, helping me, dealing with me, to be frustrated with me or upset with me, or I done made your life more miserable? Why would I want to do that? Well, I wouldn't. So then you have to decide, what are you going to do about those things that you know are a problem, if they are? What are you going to do to try and deal with those particular things that you might think that maybe she might want changed? Well, see, it's not about her getting over on me. Because the bottom line is that if you pursue this with the right selfish motivation, which God said that if a man loves himself, he loves his wife. So guess what? I could say this ain't even about you. God said, hey, if I want my prayers answered, I got to not be bitter with you. This ain't even about you. This is about my best interest. I need to understand that God's the one who said it. So when I look at her, I now look at her through the word and say, God is the one who keeps telling me, love her like you love yourself. I ain't made that up. God said that. Well, so if I was sitting here talking to Jesus, what would Jesus be saying to me? See, he ain't going to say nothing different than what the Bible say. I said, well, Jesus, you know, this is what she said to me. He says, look, I understand that, but I need you to forget the things that are behind. Press toward the mark, and the mark is, do what I told you to do. Love your wife like Christ, love church, that's what I need you to do. Now, we just talking about that as an example. There are things about your job, things about the government, things about how we deal with ourselves and the way we deal with life. Jesus says to this man, rise up, take your bed and walk. Peter said in the book, well, let me do Timothy first. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 7, this is what he says. He tells Timothy, he says, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you heard, commit to faithful men who shall also teach. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In other words, hard things are going to happen, but endure it like a good soldier. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that's chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, you want to master yourself. I want to master myself. I want to be in control of myself. They say that a man that's angry or a man that doesn't control himself is like a city without walls. You want the mastery, yet you're not crowned except you do it lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. Consider what I say. That word consider is just like I said before, imagine, think on. Chew on what I'm saying, Timothy, and the Lord give you understanding. Go back to the verse before that. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. You cannot help anyone when you can't help yourself. You got to understand this. If you don't know how to get in touch with Jesus, how you going to help anybody else get in touch with Jesus? If when things don't go the way you want, you got to like clock out, then how are you going to help other people not clock out? You don't know how not to clock out. You have not learned yet. You have not been a partaker yourself of the fruit. See, in most things we can see this in the natural. People say it all the time, like when they talk about somebody who's going to be their trainer. You don't ever meet a trainer, and some of the trainers just are naturally like this. They're young and they're already just muscular. They don't do nothing. They're just muscular. They can be a trainer because you deceived already. I want to be like you. You ain't never going to be like me. They saying in their mind because I was born like this. Seriously, some of them just look like that. They don't have to do nothing. Just don't eat the wrong stuff. They just stay like that, right? But they're going to be a trainer and got you. And you're doing all them weights and everything. Anything they say, you'll do it because of what you're seeing, right? And it ain't never changed. Just keep it up. $100, please. You know, you're going to keep paying your trainer because they're going to keep telling you what to do. Jesus does not say, you're going to be like me while you here. He ain't never said that, right? But Paul did say, follow me as I follow Christ. There are some things I've got to realize about how this works. I got to partake of the fruit first. It makes sense. There are going to be some things I go through simply because I can't talk to you about them if I ain't never experienced it. And I cannot tell you how to overcome it if I never have. I cannot tell you how to take the word and apply it to your life if I've never applied it to mine. I'm not exempt. I have to go through. I can't tell you how to move forward if I've never moved forward. I can't tell you how to do things if I've never done them. You have to understand, God says when he's talking to Peter talking to us, he says, I need y'all to understand something. There are people out there who will ruin your life if you let them. And he says, these are people that are supposed to be Christians. Let me go over here to 2 Peter, and we looked at it. This is what he said. See, because there are people who got you believing, not y'all necessarily, but got people believing we can live certain ways and we can do stuff and God's okay with this, when the Bible's clear that he's not. You can't just say, well, that's just me. I know, but me need to change. Yeah, me, that just mean, no, me need to change. Me need to make some changes. Me need to get myself in line with what God say. Look at what it says, 2 Timothy 2. And when you read verse 1 through 7, look at what it says. I'm not talking 2 Timothy, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 through 22. I'm sorry. For when they, and they talking about the they is people like me. So you're in a place where they're ministers, they, we're the they. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity. In other words, all this stuff we talking, all that stuff we throwing out at y'all. They lure through the lust of the flesh. In other words, I'm spending all my time talking about things that allure to your flesh, things that cause you to believe that it's okay to live the way you live and to go into the world the way you are and all of that. Like I said earlier, when somebody says to me, well, you know, you all right. And, you know, people say, well, people don't want to go to church and be told something wrong with them. Well, what they want to hear. Now, don't get me right wrong, y'all. You don't want to come in here and I'm always telling you, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. But that's why I keep using me as an example. Let's say, for instance, I was in the congregation. And let's say me and my wife were here together. We attended church. And let's say we have problems. Okay, we can't get along. And all pastor do when I come to church, me and her, is sit here, tell me how I'm great in Christ. My life is wonderful. You just got to believe God. When we know we ain't going to get to the parking lot before something jump off. And then when it all terminates, pastor going to pat everybody on the back and say, well, you know that light, that hot hat. Just get you another one. I'll do it for you. And here you come again, down the aisle one more time. I'm not saying that things don't happen now. What I'm saying is, I'm not helping if all I'm giving you is you good in Christ. Hey, you got it going on. You know, that's all we talking about. And you leave out of here knowing you sitting there crazy. Knowing your life is spiraling almost out of control and getting no help. Why am I coming here, you should say? To be lured. And if you escaped from this, he says, if you've escaped from that, you were living in error. That's error. You can't go home and live like that. You got to say to yourself, this has to change, Jesus. This got to change. If somebody were to come to my home I would want them to see and hear exactly what happens when they ain't in my home. And it'd be okay. That's my desire. I may not be there, let's say, but that's what I desire. My desire is that that's the case. Well, now he could help me. That's why Jesus asked the man, do you want to be made whole? And he come up with these excuses. Well, I've been here. Every time I get ready to go to the pool, somebody get in before me. So Jesus said, look, take up your bed and walk. That's why I said my thesis when you get to the end, and I think you're going to start understanding it. The bed in which you lay must be the first one you learn to carry. You see, everybody could help their future spouse by figuring out what bed they're laying in. Some people are laying in the bed of anger. Some people are laying in a bed of despair. Some people are laying in a bed of depression. And what ends up happening is, instead of dealing with that bed, they just bring somebody and put them in it with them. I come, I ain't even had no bed. You're like, yeah, get in. I come all happy. That's what people used to tell me about my wife all the time. And I tell people this is true. I said, man, she is like that all the time. She go places. She be, hey, just skipping along and all that. And hey, people are like, what are you, on drugs or something? Mm-mm, that's just how she be doing, right? Now imagine you come along and you always, hey, and everything. You come to me, I'm like, what? What you so happy about? And you got to live with that every day, let's say. Well, eventually you be like, hey. Or then you just come in and be like, why? Because if you enter into a situation and you're constantly barraged by something, sooner or later you're going to change. So all of us, especially those who ain't married, let me say that to start, those who are not could do themselves a favor by figuring out what bed am I laying in to start. If Jesus were to say to you, if Jesus were to come to you right now today and say, do you want to be made whole, would you know even what he was talking about? And if you know, then you have a chance to say, yeah. And then he can say, let's take up this bed and walk. You can do it. There's some things that you think you can't get away from. You can. There's some people who are laying in the bed of alcoholism. And they don't believe they can get out. They just don't believe it. But the problem is, most of the time, is the way they've been trained and the way their imagination works and failure to believe the word. The Bible says that God says people can't enter in because of unbelief. The fact that what? Something can be so powerful that you can't overcome it. Right. But the word says greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The power in you, God says, is great so much that he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all you can ask or even think. Faith then takes a hold of that promise and says, yeah, I might be an angry person. Now I'm telling y'all what I know now. See, Sister Laura never experienced this part of my life like that. Thank goodness. But, you know, there was a time I was a very angry person. And I believe I was justifiably angry. I'm serious. I told y'all, I think I got married at 19. I had my first kid when I was 20. And that's why I got no toleration for young people who tell me, they don't know what I'm going to do. Shut up. Bottom line is, you know, look, I got married at 19, had a baby at 20, my second one at 22, and the bottom line was, been working ever since, and I paid my child's support when she finally decided to leave me because I was crazy. But I was crazy with anger. Oh, why did this happen to me? Bruh, excuse me? You don't remember? You left home. You did that. She ain't do that to you. You left with her. Why you mad? You mad at yourself, really. Deep down, you're angry with yourself because how could you have allowed this to happen to yourself? Because you allowed the enemy to pull you out into that. You got involved in fornication, and she got pregnant. Let's just be straight. There wasn't no immaculate conception. There wasn't nothing that just happened. You did that. And now you're mad and you're angry. And everybody you're meeting is getting this thing even though you're supposed to be a Christian. Why are you mad? Well, because. And then you meet people who they in college and they doing good and they don't have no kids. And you're struggling. You're going to work and you're having to go home and try to take care of a baby. And you're doing all this stuff when you're only 20. Yeah, I think I was justifiably angry, but that. God ain't having it. God's like, look, you are where you are, sir, because of decisions you made. Now you got to make a change. And don't get mad because your mama say, look, that's your baby. Y'all ain't watching that. You're supposed to be like everybody else, grandma. You know, you can just take them. Y'all know how their grandmas are, right? You take them to grandma, leave the baby. Not my mama. Oh, no, sir, that's your baby. You better go on, take care of that. Ah!
Why my mama ain't like that?
Anger. You see, justifiable. But guess what? God not going to leave me there. He gonna get you to deal with that. And eventually there came a point where, yes, I was able to deal with it. I mean, everything was stupid. The ice chest was stupid. You know, you fill it up with ice and it run over. You stupid ice chest. You know, I heard my son say something the other day, and I was like, see, there you go. His car ran out of gas. He said, I'm not going to say exactly what he said, but it was to the effect, my car just did something stupid on me. I looked at him and I said, your car? What'd your car do? It ran out of gas. I said, oh, son, stop, hold up, wait. Your car did it? I said, is the gauge broke or something or what? Well, no, it went to the red. I said, well, you know, son, when it goes to the red, that means about to run out of gas. Well, what, you want it to talk to you? I mean, what was the car supposed to do? It keep driving until finally it run out of gas. But his response to the car and to me was that the car did it. And initially when he said it, I think he really believed it. It's almost like this wave. I don't know what you're mad about, son, but you can't. Please don't kick it. Because then you'll be told, well, how your car got a dent. You dented yourself. I know where you got that. That's that ice chest time. Because they probably were standing there when it happened. I feel the ice chest up. I run out. Stupid ice chest! Why you ain't got enough room inside of you, right? And the little boy standing there. That's right. Why you ain't got no ice for my daddy? Why you ain't got no room in there? And then he grow up and act like that. And then you look at him and I'm like, son, you're going to have to fix that. We're going to have to fix that. I know where that came from. I'm going to help you with that. You see, what I'm saying to you folks is you can justifiably have reason, but somewhere you got to understand. This man was laying there, and finally when Jesus confronted him, he had enough sense at least when he began to tell Jesus why he can't do it. I can't get out, Jesus, because of this. Jesus, I'm mad because you know I got a reason to be mad. I'm mad because of this, and I'm mad because of that. I could have a whole list of things. And any person sitting would say, ooh, Pastor, you was doing that when you was 23? You were doing this, you were doing that, you were doing this, you were working at night, you were going to school, you were watching a baby, you were married, you did all that when you was 23? You going to work and school? And maintaining all your A's because you got to do that. All that stress. And then you're looking at all your friends going, doing whatever they're doing, da 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 da. Yeah, you may have got that, but guess what? God ain't having it. You're going to have to bring this under submission. You're going to have to trust the word that it's true. There's no other way. You brush your teeth. You put on your deodorant, put on your underwear, put on Christ. He can take it away. But how, Lord? Forget it. Let it go. But you don't let it go. Just let it go. See, let me tell you one of the things that this is why I'm saying this too. One of the things that they've also discovered, they say, is that more and more that they have researched memory. The purpose of memory is not to remember. They say that the real purpose of memory, this is what the psychologists are saying, the real purpose of memory is to help you to avoid future mistakes. Something happens, it's painful, you remember it, and then you adjust your behavior, then you forget it. That's the way it's supposed to work. But think about it. How many times did you fall down before you learn how to walk? Do you remember? No, you fell down, got up, and then you learn how to walk. But each time you fell down, there was something going on in your mind that says, okay, I ain't going to do that next time. And then you keep going till you learn how to walk. Then you forget about it. All the times you fail. Why then is Paul saying that? Forgetting those things which are behind. Because God already knew you don't need no psychology. You don't need to go therapy. Don't even worry about getting on the couch. Just do what God say. Forget. So that's what I started doing. So sometimes people bring stuff up and I'll be like, when that happened? That happened? You know, my sons would tell me something. I'll be like, you don't remember that? They're like, I don't remember that. Or something else. Why? Because I purposely started asking God, God, help me to just forget that. I can't do it on my own. If you'll assist me, you said the power of God in me will help me. Help me to just forget that. And eventually things just started being forgotten. So then they didn't come up to what? Make me mad. All of a sudden, I wasn't mad. Today I tell people right now today. Now, maybe it's not true. But I say to myself and to my wife and anybody I meet, I said, if I had to plan my life for where I wanted to be today, if you had asked me when I was 15, I am exactly where I wanted to be. Exactly where I wanted to be. Now, I don't know how I got here, if that's really right, but that's how it seems. And only God could do that. So without recounting all the errors or however I got here, I feel like I'm there. That's God, though. And what we've got to understand is that God wants us to rise up and shine. This is why what he said in Isaiah, and I'm going to close with this. In Isaiah, he said this. He said that there was going to come a time in Zion, once Jesus came, that we would be able to hear clearly, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen on thee. That's how I feel many times when I'm talking to people. Look, man, I'm telling you, I done been through some things. I don't have to tell you everything I done been through, but I've been through some things. I understand suffering in life, and I understand a lot of stuff that can happen, but I'm telling you what I know. Jesus, when you get in there with him like you should, he will bring light into your life in such a way that you have no idea what done went on around you. It could be as dark as all get out. The bottom line is that the light of God shines upon your light and your heart in such a way that you come to understand the reality of what's going on. Even in all of what we're dealing with out there right now, God has made it clear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains may go into the midst of the sea, there I am with you. There's no need to fear who shall bring anything against the elect of God. It is God who judges. Who is they that condemn? This is why somebody could walk up to me and try to remind me of my past, and I'd be like, whatever, I can't do nothing about that. That guy gone. That guy dead. It might have been me. I might have did it. But you know what? God gave me the authority to forget it. And when you can do that, folks, the light of God will arise and shine upon you. Learn. First, figure out what bed you carrying around. You know, some people are too agreeable. And that could be just as much a problem as people who aren't. The bottom line is that sometimes you got to learn how to say no. Sometimes you just got to learn how to take a stand. Sometimes you got to learn. People say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, again, we got to ask God to help us and believe that what? He will arise through his spirit and give us the light that we need. Folks, we're going to get ready to go ahead and close, and then we're going to go ahead and do our communion. But let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to see if we can do our communion. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus.